Sir, we've had a little problem. These two women are just arriving. They objected to giving up their weapons.
Klingons do not surrender their weapons.
Who are you?
We are Lursa and Bator of the House of Duras.
Hello and welcome to the Duras Sisters podcast. We are not Klingons, but we are sisters. And I'm Ashlyn.
And I'm Rihanna.
And today is the fifth episode of our finale series. Everyone hold on tight to your backpacks or bootstraps or whatever you have, because we are talking about Voyager's finale, Endgame. Whoa! Wow! Endgame!
Wanna be your Endgame.
Endgame!
I cannot believe we're here. I always say that, but like truly, because this is an insane finale, and the fact that we finally get to talk about it, like the entire thing, we've talked about it for so many series already, but this is going to be really unique, and I'm really excited, especially because we have an Endgame expert here with us. Ashlyn is, or has seen this episode quite a lot.
Yeah, so I always have hesitation when we're about to talk about things that I know a lot about. And Endgame, it honestly, the amount of fan fiction I've written about it, the amount of research that I've done about this episode, not the actual facts about who wrote it and all that, but like in the fictional world of Endgame, I feel like this is my doctor's thesis. Like I will be Dr. Gelman as soon as I write about 10 more Endgame fics, which could happen at any time.
You have like how many going right now? Like 4 that you're still working on?
Yes.
Yep.
And I had a breakthrough while I was watching the episode last night on
I
one
knew
of them.
You would.
Yeah.
I was like, this is your time. Get your pencil ready.
Yeah, it's my time to shine. And honestly, this was the reason I wanted to do the finale series. And so the reason I have hesitation in my heart is because I want it to be a good episode, and I want to make sure we talk about all the things that I want to talk about, which is a lot. So we have a journey ahead of us, but it's gonna be an exciting journey, I think.
Especially because Voyager is such a different, has such a different theme than a lot of other Star Trek. We're kind of encountering something similar to Deep Space Nine, where it's not just your typical like scouting around the Alpha Quadrant on a deep space mission. You know, now it's like the whole purpose is getting home. And so this finale to me feels so weighted and so much pressure on it to be perfect and to be really good, because we've been waiting literally 7 years of, like, if you're watching it in time or however long it took you to binge it, for them to come home. And so everything is riding on that. I can't imagine the show writing pressure. I can't wait to talk about some of the choices they made, maybe due to that pressure or due to other things. So I just want to keep that in mind, like how insane that is to think about.
Yeah, they're juggling a lot going to this finale. So, it's with a heavy heart. we now will move on. We're going to talk about a couple of exciting things we have coming up for the Duras Sisters podcast. First of all, I hope you have been enjoying the watch along of Discovery that we and Strange New Pod have been hosting on their Discord. Right now, as we're recording, Strange New Pod is hosting season 3. Every night, pretty much at 9 p.m. Eastern on their Discord. But season 4 is hosted by us, and that is going to start on Thursday, March 21st. That one's at 8 p.m. So we are excited to watch the 4th season. And also that means we're getting really close to Discovery coming out on April 4th. And then, you know, before that, we have the whole Farewell to Disco Pod Festival coming up. Rihanna and I are excited to announce what our episode will be. As soon as we figure it out, we will let you know.
We have it narrowed down, so.
Yeah, we have it. We're circling the drain on
yes,
that.
Yes.
Yeah. So very, very exciting. We are also headed to Long Island, New York this May, at the end of May, beginning of June, to attend our first convention as a podcast with Trek Long Island. So we hope you will consider joining. It's going to be a tremendous amount of fun.
This was like bucket list podcast stuff that we said we wanted to do, is host a booth and a panel. And we're doing that and hosting 2 panels. So it's a dream come true. And Yeah, there's going to be some amazing stuff that we're selling that's going to be on sale, but also just like amazing people. Going to be so much fun. So
Yes, Rihanna and I
please
have
check it out if you're in the area.
tentatively each agreed to make 200 bracelets, like Star Trek bracelets, to sell.
Yes.
So I know some of you received some free ones for Christmas just for being our friends because we love you.
Yes.
But for all of those who were jealously looking at the posts of people receiving their bracelets, now you have a chance to buy your own. So you better make your
Yes.
way to Truck Long Island. Otherwise, they're going to be
Who
gone. I'm
knows
sure we're
what's
going
gonna
to sell
happen?
all 400
I'm
bracelets.
sure. Yeah, I'm positive.
Rihanna, I have kind of a question for you. It might be sort of personal.
Sure.
But I'm noticing this is the Voyager episode. Next week is Enterprise and then Picard finale.
Yeah.
So what series are we doing after?
Okay, the next series of the podcast will be announced at the end of this episode.
Okay, I thought you were gonna announce it at the end, but I still was acting like as if I was about to hear it, and my face just felt crumbled to
Ashlyn hasn't
ashes.
heard it either,
No, I
actually.
don't know either. You've given me a couple to think through, and I was like, oh, what's
Then
she
I went a
gonna
completely different direction.
do? Okay, here's my guess. Can I guess what you're gonna choose? Because I feel like
If you wait, what if you guess it right, then I'll have to say yes, and then everyone will know the series right now. How about that?
Oh my God. Okay, pressure. Okay. I just think Rihanna has this chaotic look in her eye that makes me a little like it's gonna be something really random. So I'm gonna go with historical figures. Kind of a
Wrong.
weird guess. Damn.
No, but
Okay.
it was a good guess. That was kind of floating around in my brain for a bit, but
Well, it was my idea, so I was like, I'd be
yeah.
kind of surprised if she went for something that I thought
It
of, but I don't care. So.
happens sometimes, I think, or it's just something we both kind of have thought of because it's a Trek thing,
Yeah.
so okay, well, this is
Dang.
so,
We'll
yeah,
have to just
that was a
wait
good
till
try,
the end.
yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, y'all. Now you just have to listen to this whole episode.
Oh God,
Oh
you have to listen to Endgame.
no. But thank you, Ashlyn. I'm very excited to announce it later. Oh, but you know what? The patrons have already known this. So the patrons always get an exclusive insight into what the next episode is or the next series is going to be before everyone else. So if you want to become a patron, you could learn it early next time.
Yeah, thank you for that plug, Rihanna.
Yeah.
Patrons are not only figuring out the series early, they're also receiving behind the scenes content from us when we are recording the pods or the Patreon. Those are being uploaded for anyone who's a member of the Patreon. And then you all know the rest of the spiel, but I'm just really excited about this $1 and above
Yes, this
Patreon
new
content.
content.
Yeah,
Yeah.
because it's really funny and honestly, like we're especially because these are that's video, a video element that we're uploading, which we do not have at any other aspect of our pod. And it makes me really happy just to see like Rihanna and I being such cute sisters together.
Yes.
Honestly, like I really enjoy it. So I hope you patrons enjoy it as well. So again, we announced our new patron last week, but once again, they just have the best name of all time. So here's to all of our patrons. Thank you to Nainar, Anar. Oh, it's just my favorite name. Absolutely
Thank
tremendous.
you.
Also, thank you to Jordan Hirsch, Megan Chowning, Spotted Giraffe, David Willett, Kurlon Noskos, Wolfwit, Anna F, John B, Gil Dara, Jeff Richardson, Never Otter Even, Anna Post, T. Alexander, Ivan Fetch, and Michelle, you all have beautiful names, but none of your names
Thank
are as
you.
beautiful as Nainar,
Nainar,
Nainar, Anar. Amazing.
glorious, glory to the house
Absolutely.
of Duras. Thank you, patrons. We really appreciate you.
Yes.
Now, Ashlyn, we need a friend on this journey as we try to get home from the Delta Quadrant. So,
Okay.
Ashlyn.
I'm doing a Patreon exclusive on the pod. Normally I pick my Voyager, or normally I pick from my like rando action figure display. Today I'm picking from the treasured action figure display. These are the ones closer to me, and currently the Voyager cast is on this. So I'm gonna try to blindly choose someone for so we have a Voyager choice today. A Voyager choice today. So let's see.
Amazing. Thank you, Ashlyn. I'm going to choose as well from my bag because I don't have a hierarchy of of action figures like Ashlyn does. But oh, sorry, I wasn't talking about you while you were gone.
What was that? Oh. I heard like Ashlyn does. Yeah, were you talking about like how dare I rig my selection process?
No, actually.
Oh okay, cool.
We weren't talking about that, us and the listeners. We
oh sure, sure. Whenever you are alone with listeners, I get a little nervous, Rihanna.
Well, you literally edit this first half of the podcast, so you'll hear it.
Oh, I'll hear it in a couple days, sure.
You'll hear what I said about you. Okay, well, Ashlyn, would you like to go first and tell us who you picked from your very special shelf?
Yes, well, first, I picked Harry Kim, but oh. I chose him for the Patreon this week, so yeah. I put him back. And no, just like Janeway did when she was like, who do I promote? Oh, not that Harry Kim.
Got him.
So instead, I have full Klingon B'Elanna from the episode
Faces.
I thought it was Faces, but I thought that was a weird title, so I didn't want to say it out loud. So thank you, Rihanna.
It is a weird title, and I did say it out loud.
You sure did. Okay, well, who do you have? Do you have perhaps human B'Elanna from the episode Faces?
You betcha I do not have that action figure. I tried desperately to pull a Voyager, but was not successful, but instead chose the wonderful Geordi LaForge in his dress uniform. He's gorgeous. I Rihanna. Bought him like from eBay because he was so gorgeous. I literally could not.
I've never seen him.
Isn't he beautiful?
Oh, you've taken my breath away. He's so beautiful.
I know that he looks so gorgeous in his dress. He's got like
goodness.
the swoop of the uniform with the pips on the shoulder instead. It's just like,
oh my gosh, he's like he's like Taylor Swift and Tolerate It. He's like, do the uniform with the fancy pips and watch you tolerate it. If it's all in my head, tell me now.
He's like on his knees. Damn, we should upload this visual part. That's like hilarious.
You know, there was one time I was on some podcast as a guest, and we could see everybody's comments, and I was talking about our podcast, this one that we're currently talking about on, I think it was Captain's Quadrant. But anyway, when someone said in the comments, I only listen to podcasts if they're on YouTube and I can see the people. And I was like, dang, that is a whole audience that we are too lazy to cater to. You know what yeah. I mean? Yeah. Because editing visually is hard. And we are functioning on, you know, the two of us as best we can. And a video element is so extra.
It's too much. Yeah.
But I think about that person, and I think about how sad they are to be missing the glory that is dress uniform Geordi LaForge. Rihanna, yes. We'll definitely post a picture on Patreon, and when we post our beautiful photo, you will be able to see him, but
absolutely.
Maybe we might need like a photo shoot with Geordi.
Oh, yeah. Action figure photo shoots are a niche that I love and will always partake in. So
yeah,
absolutely. All right, Ashlyn, now I'm going to ask you the very important question from this series, which is, if you had to choose anyone to take into the holodeck and run the program Voyager Endgame, who would you watch it with, and would you be in participation mode or viewing mode?
Very detailed question. Okay, I will tell you, this one was really hard. And Rihanna and I literally, we had to pause the recording, set a timer for a minute, and we both had to put our heads down and think. Because, and we've never done that in the history of our pod, whenever we have a question at the beginning. This one is serious. So, I have one that started out as a joke, but actually is my answer.
Okay.
I would take Dahl from Prodigy. And we would be in viewing mode. I think it would be too chaotic with participation.
Yeah, please. Yeah. That's so true.
So I came to this conclusion because I think people who would enjoy watching this historically are people who are like fans of Janeway. And especially because Dahl has like no idea about Janeway's career before he meets her in Prodigy.
True.
I think it would be really interesting for him, especially as like a budding adult, like young adult, to watch what she went through and what she did to get her crew home, round two, round one and round two. So I just think it would, Dao would be a great companion because he would be really, he'd be funny. Like we would laugh together about it and him and I would absolutely like puke during the C7 scenes, I think.
Totally. Oh, yeah.
But also I think he would be very like retrospective or is that a word? It would be very like introspective for him maybe too, to see Janeway in this way. So,
and to be like, oh, that's that Chakotay guy that Janeway's obsessed with. Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. Like why is she obsessed with him anyway? So that's my answer. Brilliant. I think it would be fun and it would be educational. So, Rihanna, have you had enough time now? Do you have someone you take on the holodeck with you?
Okay, Ashlyn, I'm so glad that you said yours started out as a joke because mine did too. You might laugh at this, but I think that this would actually be so fun for the both of us is if I brought Barkley on the holodeck, which I know like this addiction might actually prevent him. I don't know if that's not a good idea. But putting that aside, I would love for him to see like multiple iterations of himself. I mean, it might be devastating because he's like, oh God, I was so like impressive in this timeline that got literally vanished from existence.
Hopefully he has the same future though. Like I hope Barkley, exactly. I feel like Barkley would teach at the academy at any timeline.
I could see that. Exactly. And I just think he's kind of a rock star in this episode. Like really he shines so much.
Yes.
And so it's such an important character. So I started as a joke because I was like, haha, Barkley would like love to see this. And then I was like, no, actually, Barkley would love to see this. And I don't know, we're such Voyager fans too, that I thought that would also be fun because we could also just like talk about how she's like, I really don't understand C7, like what's happening here? You know, like, when did this happen? I never in any of my simulations did they do this. You know, like I could just imagine us like shooting the shit.
He would be like looking up in the in the captain's logs or whatever, mm-hmm. and like the ship logs, and being like, "Wait, they have never even been on a date before. Like this was never cataloged. What is going on?" Yeah, yes, exactly. He pulling up records.
Exactly. Yeah. So I thought that would be really fun.
Rihanna, that is a superb answer.
Yeah, and I didn't really want to bring anyone from their crew because I didn't want them to see their past lives.
Well, they got wiped. I was thinking about Seven. And she was my top choice, but that's just too hard. Like
I was brought Rafi, bro, just to be like, here's some context for how crazy Seven's life was.
I'm speechless.
Which could be really funny.
At that answer.
But also just like wild.
I feel like you'd have to do the same thing with Seven and go into like Rafi's past, you know?
Yeah, it would be fair. I'd have to get consent from Seven. And she'd say, no way.
She said, I don't want anyone to see what happened.
She's like, that's my shameful past before I came out. Like, y'all, we all date men before we come out. It's fine.
She could still be bi.
She could still be bi, absolutely.
Yeah. But still, anyway.
Not the way she acts. No, just kidding. Take that out. But yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay. So, wow. That was a journey. Thank you, everybody.
Yes.
Rihanna, I'm wondering if you remember the circumstances of watching this episode for the first time. Everybody settle in.
Tears. Yeah, I do absolutely remember. We finished this episode in our mom's house, in our mom and stepdad's house, literally. This is wild, y'all. Literally the night before we flew to San Francisco to drop Ashlyn off at undergrad. Like the night before, everything was packed, bags were by the door. Like, and we didn't pack our points because we're like, you know, having to take our points and our notes. So I was like, this is insane. I was sort of in shock, let's be real. As you probably heard if you listened to the other episodes of this podcast, I was like struggling with Ashlyn leaving. I was having a really hard time because we were like attached at the hip, and I was also realizing like, oh my God, do I have a personality outside of my sister? Like, am I a like human? Like, I had to like go through like, all this stuff.
I'm so sorry about like all of this.
No, it's fine.
I guess I'm just too cool, you know?
No, you are. But I also think it's just like the younger sibling plight, you know, like we all have it in different ways, being a different, you know, type of sibling. This like added to the emotional feelings of the episode. And, you know, we were like screaming about C7, but mostly we were just crying and like rejoicing with how cool Admiral Janeway was. Like, I think I mostly came out of it with really positive experience, even though I was sad about having to like leave Ashland in San Francisco. We still had like a whole trip ahead of us. We were staying for a bit to help her settle in and, you know, explore the city a bit with her. So I kind of put that aside and was just like, okay, we're closing one chapter, I'll close another later. And it was just really beautiful. And I remember feeling pretty positive about it all. I think, yeah, my only real qualms at the time was C7, but I wasn't a huge like Janeway and Chakotay shipper at the time. I wasn't really, to be honest, didn't really like, it wasn't quite of a shipping show for me. Like there wasn't a ton of people that I was like, ooh, I want these people to pair up, or these people, Tom and B'Elanna, I always thought was cute, you know, and that's kind of period, like that's the extent. And they got together, so good job. Very positive experience, except the fact that we were dropping you off at college the next day, you know, like that was really tough. But I think we literally counted our points either that night or in the hotel in San Francisco. I can't remember, but it was iconic. Yeah.
Rihanna, thank you for sharing that. This question is really bringing up lore for us, like Herd Sisters lore.
I kind of like it. Like we should start integrating this more to like, yeah. You know.
Well, and like how often do you get to talk about these very specific moments of your life? From my side, so yeah, we literally watched it the day before I went to college. That summer and the like couple weeks leading up to my departure was insanely turbulent because, I mean, you know how it is. If you've been through high school graduation, like you graduate, you're saying all these goodbyes to the people you love the most. And so it was like an onslaught of emotion. I had like a planned breakup with my boyfriend of a year and a half too. Yeah. And so I was going through that. And it was a crazy time. But I remember with Rihanna, the last year, my senior year, her sophomore year, we made an effort to really spend more time together. We like got up at like 5 a.m. to go to Starbucks and hang out before school started on Thursdays. We would arrive at Starbucks at like 5:58.
literally. Yeah. And yeah. Thank you, therapy. Like my therapist is literally like, y'all should spend this year together and like do little carved out time, because Ashlyn had so many things that she was like, she should have said, so many chapters she was closing too, that like we both had different things we were worrying about, you know?
Yes, but it was exactly.
All yeah. Anyway, continue.
And so this effort that we made to spend time with each other, it forced us, not forced us, but we were like, oh, you know what we should do is keep watching Star Trek together, because we had slammed through TNG, Deep Space Nine, and the first five seasons of Voyager basically within like 2 years or something, maybe like three, something crazy like that. We got through Voyager around season five-ish and we just stopped, because for me, I was so frustrated by so many episodes were repetitive of TNG because we had seen it too fast, you know?
Oh, yeah, we had Star Trek burnout. Like we didn't know it was possible, but it was.
Yeah, it was. And that's okay. And everyone can go through it sometimes. But so we took about a year off or more. And so then that senior year, we're like, you know what? Screw it. Let's just keep watching Voyager. And so we continued where we left off. I want to say it was season five. It might have been four. After that, we were like addicted to it, and we did, it was like a renewal for us and we really enjoyed. And so to this day sometimes I wonder like if that's a reason why Voyager has always been lower for me, because our watch through was interrupted like that. But anyway, this to say that there is so much hype leading up to this Voyager finale. We had watched so much Voyager that summer as well, getting ready for this. I mean, you could tell our procrastination that we were watching it the night before I left. Like, that's insane. So
that's hardcore. Yeah.
That's really, yeah. I mean, we've always been like this. Yeah, always.
So, can I read the quote?
Yes, yes. Time? Okay, Rihanna's looking at her points, so get ready, fam.
So I grabbed my points, and since we always made a schedule for each season, a watch schedule, we also finished Endgame Part 1 on July 23rd. Just in case anyone's counting at home. And at the top of season 7, we put the quote, Ashlyn said, "I just shipped them so hard and now it's almost over." I wonder who she's talking about. I wonder.
I have shipped Janeway and Chakotay for so much of my formative years, you all. So You can't help me.
Formative years is right. Like that's on point. That's exactly it. Yeah.
Yeah, so, because we've talked so much about the past, the things that I remember from this episode that shocked me was seeing the first 5 minutes before the intro. I couldn't believe that they were home. It was like Voyager's flying towards San Francisco. I was shocked by it.
Yes.
And I remember feeling mostly triumphant, as Rihanna said, about how badass Janeway was and how amazing it was that we got to have a showdown between her and the Borg Queen. That's what I always wanted in life.
Yes.
Hated C7 and was deeply confused by it. I think that was the thing. It's like it felt like to me that those scenes didn't mean to be there. Like this was a
Oh, that
cut
was a cut.
that
Yeah.
shouldn't have been edited. So it was just deeply confusing and really pissed me off. And I felt so confused about Seven and dying. So the characterization, it was really rough. But
Totally. I
then
totally agree.
I also felt at the end when they're home and you see all the ships that it was a good ending. Like they got home and I was crying because you feel the emotion of everyone on the bridge. And I really felt satisfied by that ending. And I never once thought, where are they now? Or like what happened to them on the Earth? And I say that because we actually have a lot of people who thought completely differently when
Yes.
we polled some listeners this week. But first, Rihanna, I do have to ask you, we're back to our points. I'm wondering, out of all the characters in Voyager, who was your third favorite by the end of season seven?
I had in third place Tuvok with 28,375
Tuvok
points.
in third place.
Times have changed. But yes.
So this is also for context, 2014. So
Wow. Yeah.
this is 10 years ago. Okay, in my third place is Chakotay with
Ooh.
62,880. I
What
gave
in
way
the
more
f-
points than Rihanna.
No, Ashlyn goes ham. Y'all don't understand. Like, I mean, you probably don't because this is really niche.
So, okay, Rihanna, who's your number two?
My number two was Chakotay.
What? Rihanna,
You heard it here first, folks. Chakotay got
Rihanna
thirty
is
thousand.
unwell. That
No,
cannot be true.
I just like I love Chakotay, but I'm not a Chakotay like mega fan or even really a
No.
fan, to
You're
be
not even a
honest.
fan.
Like I like him, but that's about it. So 30,450 was his point. So he got about 2,000 more than Tuvok. Which I'm just in shock.
I'm speechless about this.
Yeah.
I would never have guessed that. Okay, my second place is Tuvok. So I think this is the
Yes.
correct order,
Yeah, this should have been
personally.
mine. Yeah.
Yeah, and I have 78,915. So that's about 16,000 more than Chakotay, who's down at 62 in my third place.
Wait. How many thousand more? Say that again.
That was 16,000 more points than Chakotay.
Speechless.
Yeah. Okay, Rihanna,
Wow.
I want to know. So you have number three is Tuvok, number two is Chakotay. Who is your number one?
This is Captain Janeway, of course. She is in first place with, to Ashlyn, a measly 37,995.
Okay, why is there such a discrepancy?
Because you're a freak and I love you, but oh my God, you go so crazy with your points. And you
My
add a lot of
God.
pluses at the 11th hour.
Oh yeah, Rihanna hates my pluses.
It's not putting in the work. We all put
No,
in the work. Our
Rihanna's
hands
so
cramped.
pure, and every
Okay.
time she puts in a plus, it's for some like very extra special reason. Oh
Ethical
my God,
reason.
the shit I heard about this. Okay, so you'll never guess who's in my first place. So I have Chakotay in third, Tuvok in second. Number one, of course, is Janeway. But I
Course.
have, and actually, not this is not even as much as Picard got or Bashir in Deep Space Nine.
Yeah, true.
Janeway has 93,195. She didn't even crack.
crack 6K.
Okay, so you know what would be really funny is if after this series we just did a quick like summary of our favorite characters according to Small Us.
No, I'm telling you, this is when we do the graphs that I've always dreamed about doing. Yes. And we post them on social media. Yeah. And we exploit our mental illness.
Our parents were always like, oh, you're doing your little notes thing, your little points thing.
Oh my god, my cheeks hurt from smiling. Oh,
this only happens when we get so off topic, like I don't even know where we are in the like bullet points. Let me tell you all. So we asked the listeners what they thought about Endgame. Where do they rank it? What are their overall thoughts about the episode? Normally we get like small, cute, great responses from like a couple people. For whatever reason, the algorithm hit on this post. And so we had like, I think like 100 comments or something. Like we had a ton of people respond from all sorts of places on social media, so thank you so much for your all of your comments. We are sad we can't read them all. So
truly,
I had some free time today and I organized these comments into categories because again, we're very special Duras sisters.
Yes. And there's so many comments.
There's so many.
Ashton did a great job. Yeah.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. So some of you hated Endgame and there were some really funny
and
comments.
It shows.
I really like Mimi's Lamb 1, who said, as a brand new Trekkie who has binged this entire Star Trek universe, I'm on Discovery now. I hated it. I thank you, Mimi's Lamb 1. Like, wow.
Mostly fair.
Baxter 74656 said, I've never quite understood the ending. Was the Voyager inside the sphere? And
Baxter, great question.
I had to read this because I too am always confused.
Wait, what?
I'm always confused. Why? By the ending. Like, they never talked about that they had to go in the sphere. It happened really fast. So then when they're
sphere?
The Borg sphere. At the end, when Voyager,
remember?
Oh no, but they're inside. They're inside the cube, and they. Brianna, this is what
when
I'm talking about.
Happen?
Yes, wait. That's why Baxter 745656 is confused.
Hated it.
And
yeah.
I just had to read this. So anyway.
Wow, phenomenal. I'm gonna read a comment that I do not agree with, but I just think it's like indicative of all Trek fans having different opinions. Cora Bubbles says, this is the reason DTI, Department of Temporal Investigations, absolutely despises her. Dude even tried to warn 709 about it during the DTI episode in season 7. She literally wiped out an entire timeline because her bestie was sick. And let's not forget, she straight up committed murder to get her bestie back. So that's two
Tuvok.
Strikes for Janeway on trying to get help, Tuvok. Ashlyn, now let's move on to some people who were a bit disappointed and felt the ending was abrupt. So go ahead.
Yeah. Our friend Russ Pelliquin said, how are they going to roll credits before they even get past the moon? And you make a really good point there. Yeah.
Yeah. I love it. Batman and Robert said... Iconic. Said, typical episode end. Captain, look, we're ho-. Rolls credits.
I mean, that's very Voyager of them.
Yes.
Okay, I think it's Sean than me. As much as I like badass Admiral Janeway, it's disappointing that the series finale is her story and cast the present-day Voyager crew as side characters. In retrospect, spending so much time in the future drags things down, and the lack of returning home payoff is a bummer. I would have structured it like What You Leave Behind, where the first half is getting home and the second half is just catharsis payoff.
Mm.
Well-structured comment, in my opinion.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, we have some people that didn't like it specifically because of the Chakotay and Seven relationship. I had to make this category because there were so many comments about it. For example, JC Always says, it was ruined by the C7 travesty that made it nigh unwatchable. But without that, it would have been a good finale. But the cringe factor is too high. Watched it once on purpose. Only now watch via transcripts for fic reference purposes. And I cannot agree with this enough, because if I want to reference any of those cringe scenes, like, I have to do transcripts.
I really, really respect JC. Always, thank you for your comment.
Yes, and someone else who I really respect, Els.so2, said, it's so bad it inspired my favorite JC fanfics. Another comment is so crucial.
We have the Dab Crab said, the first half is perfect. The second half, IDK, 6 out of 10.
M. Weedman said, it was okay. Year of Hell was my favorite.
Mood.
Yep. Yes.
Spoilers.
J Team G says, it could have been her 3 or 4 part ending with the finale episode as a sort of quiet epilogue back on Earth. Endgame was a beautifully acted 2-parter and Mulgrew has never been better, but they deserved a longer wrap for such a brilliant series.
Mm, yep. I'm going to read Dr. Crusher comment who said, I love Endgame, double Janeway with older mommy Jane Bay. Yes, but the weak bit is the awful C7 BS.
Issa Grimori said, I really liked Endgame despite the curveballs, C7. It's like you ship Janeway with Chakotay or Seven. You know who gets together? A secret third option. But other than that, I really like it. I just wish there was a button on it, that we see the whole cast on the bridge. And I know B'Elanna just gave birth, but I wanted their presence. Also, seeing Voyager fly to Earth.
Yeah. Okay, let's read 2 more.
Yes. Maybe?
Okay, yes. So I'm going to read Jason Lee's comment who said, interesting way to show how much we change over time when our current perceptions hold us back, when over time they bend and change, often based on present circumstances and past experiences.
Absolutely, absolutely. And then Jennifer Lee Rossman says, I think it's the perfect example of there's the right way, the wrong way, and the Jane way. They got back. Most people were safe. Any other captain would call that a win, but nope. Janeway literally rewrites history because it's not good enough for her and her family. And I mean that as a compliment and a criticism. She will do anything for the people she cares about most, even if that means, you know, totally changing the lives of literally everyone in the universe.
Yes. Okay. Jennifer Lee Rothman, always genius. Thank you for that
comment. Thank you. Thank you. So a little bit of background about this. This episode originally aired on May 23rd, 2001. It was written by Rick Berman, Kenneth Biller, and Brandon Braga. I know from a panel Q&A that we saw with Kate Mulgrew that it was a really tough thing for her to film because obviously it's the finale and everyone is slowly leaving. You know, they do the scenes with the most people first. People just start going home and leaving. And so at one point it was only Kate Mulgrew on set because there's a ton of scenes that had Kate talking to Kate, you know, as the two Janeways. And Robert Picardo, I'm sure I've told the story on the pod before, but I love this story. Robert Picardo did not go home, you know, as the doctor. He stayed on set and waited for her to finish her shoots so she wasn't alone, because she was like lonely and having really long days all by herself with all the cast gone, but he stayed with her. And I thought that was so special and beautiful.
That is such gorgeous. Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, I absolutely love it. Kate apparently teased in a promo for the finale that one of the characters would die in one of the final frames of the series finale, but added that it didn't mean she was saying it would be Janeway. And then in 2015, Brandon Braga stated on Twitter that he felt it should have been 7 of 9 who died in the finale, and he had written Human Error specifically to set this up.
Of course he did.
Yeah. I also know just from like my own background, I think that Jeri Ryan was dating Brandon Braga at the time. I think I heard, and all of you should actually go listen to the Delta Flyers review of Endgame, mm-hmm. because a lot of my knowledge I'm pulling from them because they were there. But Braga specifically gave Jeri Ryan a random romance. Because he wanted her to have that in the finale as kind of a special like storyline.
What?
So that is kind of the history of C7.
Wow.
Anyway, yeah.
Weak sauce is what that is, Dave.
Yeah. So, okay, so help me is the first thing I wrote in my notes, because we start this episode, the first frame, we have Voyager flying home into San Francisco Bay under the bridge, which seems unlikely. Yeah, like, it's not, Voyager's not as small as a Klingon bird of prey, right?
No.
Very strange. But Voyager's home,
And then we see that this is actually historical footage, as we find out Janeway's watching it. And this is 10 years after Voyager has gotten home, and we see her like gazing painfully out at the window. Rihanna, what are your thoughts?
Wow. Finales, I will say this with my chest always, finales that start in the future piss me off. I hate 25 years later. In this case, a 23-year journey is what Voyager took. It's been 10 years, as Ashlyn said. But I think that as on the scale of finales I hate that do this, this is not too bad. Or movies or whatever. I don't mind this time skip because obviously it's not staying around. So I think that Janeway, you know, she's regal as hell, being this like older lady with her like amazing, beautiful white hair, living in San Francisco. But I feel like we're already in this really different place in the finale, and starting in the future is so unsettling to me. Everyone's characters have changed and begun to move on some, you know, when we see this anniversary, we see that no one knows anything about each other. And that really scares me. And I just think that like, it's obvious that yes, this future feels wrong, but it's just like, why are you giving us all good things again? Is sort of what I felt when I was watching this first time, and don't feel it as much anymore because it's obviously very different. But I'm just like, why do we have to have like an old captain at the end of the finale? Like, what is this?
It's definitely giving all good things, having this type of future. And I think it was probably drawing from that. I've seen a lot of criticism about this finale because, well, and even in, there was a documentary I think I saw where someone said that they were kind of trying to go for the TNG-esque finale.
That's weird. Just like do your own thing. Yeah.
But maybe they got some backlash from DS9 being amazing. I don't know.
yeah, who knows?
Yeah, I think it was a still a kind of a surprising start, especially if you're watching this episode after Renaissance Man and then Endgame's next. You have with them just getting home, and it's very surprising, and you're like, what's going on? But as these scenes continue of them in the future, I am settling into it quite easily because I think I trust how Star Trek does finales, and I know that they have something really cool planned. And so it's amazing to see Janeway here, but also, like you said, Rihanna, how no one knows anything about each other at this party. What I notice is how Janeway is so distant from everyone, and she is all business in this first scene. It's supposedly the 10-year anniversary since Voyager has got home. So let me tell you, this year right now, 2404, that means they got home in 2394. So it took them 24 years to get home. 10 years out, we see Harry is a captain. He just got back from a 4-year deep space mission. He jokes to Naomi's granddaughter, whoever that little girl
daughter.
Is daughter right. Yeah,
just daughter. Yeah,
that 4 years in the, it felt like a blink compared to how long he was in the Delta Quadrant. But something I thought was really funny, and I just have to point out, because Harry says to Janeway, I'm sorry I missed the funeral, and she's like, everyone knows you were away, like don't worry about it. And she's quick to change the subject. Okay, I'm just gonna set this up and I'll bring it back in a later scene, so just remember that Harry said, I'm sorry I missed the funeral. And also, she's just like so beautiful as well.
Oh my
god,
everyone's beautiful. B'Elanna looks amazing.
I want to say something I thought was funny from the Delta Flyers is that Robbie, my friend, Robert Duncan McNeil, he said that his age makeup was the worst of everybody's in the future. And I can't help but agree with him, because B'Elanna, yes. Janeway, even Barkley looks great in the future. And right now, Robert Duncan McNeil is about the same age that Paris would be, and he looks great. Like, he does not look like a balding, like many skinned type of man. So, yeah. Anyway, I thought that bit was funny.
I love that. Yeah. I think this is absolutely right. Janeway is here for business. She is here to see her people, but also to see Barkley. Can we dive into this guest lecture? So funny. Also, I feel so terrible for these students. I know they're about to get wiped from existence, so like, it's fine. But like, I just, like, she's supposed to be a, okay, is this right? She's supposed to be a guest lecturer for the entire semester? Or did he just say for this semester? He said this semester, so I thought he meant maybe like this first class.
Well, what's funny is that the writers don't know either, because in in a later scene when the doctor goes to confront Barkley, he's trying to logic, like, why would Captain Janeway, or why would the Admiral disappear when she just started teaching at the Academy and she's been so excited to teach with you? They kind of make it seem like she had her own class at first. And then,
right.
Yeah. So it's very unclear.
It's very unclear. Okay, I'm glad that you were confused too. Because, yeah, but Barkley's kind of great. I actually made a list called the Loyalist Hoes, because like there is sort of a hierarchy of the loyal hoes in this, and I feel like Barkley is at the top. You know, like, he makes her tea, he wanted to come with her, like, he volunteered not only to help her get all this stuff and go back in time, like, I think he knows most of the plan, like, out of everyone, and helped her with everything, which of course makes it hard with the doctor. Is, you know, he's easy to like get, oh no, the doctor snitched anyway. So then Barkley's the first, and then I'd say that the doctor is second, because he didn't protest to get the chlorolexine or whatever,
chrononexoline.
But then he snitched to Harry, and but he didn't tell anyone else, you know, so it's kind of like he's kind of a loyal hoe, but he's also kind of a hoe, you know. And then Harry, I'd say, is the bottom tier hoe, because first he wanted to sort of take Janeway in, but then he lets her go after he hears her out.
See, that's my list. I think actually Harry would be higher. This rewatch, I was struck by something I've never been struck by in my life. I had a little kindling of love for Harry Kim, and I really don't care for him as a character. Yeah. I just think he's kind of there. I think also I'm thinking about Timeless, because when I see Harry in this age makeup, I can't help but think about that episode, because he's about at the same time period where last time it was Harry who went back in time and changed everyone's future to save the Voyager crew, Harry and Chakotay. And so now this time, we have another Voyager character doing the same thing. So I know he can't, I mean, well, he does know about that Harry Kim. And so I can't help but think he's like, God damn it. Like, fine. I would do the same thing if it was me. Yeah. And so even though he does try to stop her at first, after he knows what she's going to do, he is so helpful. And he's even like going over her math. And it just makes me so sad that Janeway felt like she couldn't confide in these people who she has around her, because the minute that Harry agrees with her, he is all in, because he's loyal to her. And that's what, and even the doctor, Reg, like, that's why Reg is so wonderful too.
The loyalist hoes, yeah.
They want to all help Janeway, but she is so closed off and she cannot handle having a close friendship with any of them, because she's obsessed with going back in time, changing her mistakes that she's made, that she cannot talk to anyone else. And so it makes me really sad, but also, so anyway, I would put Harry a little bit above, but I love your loyal hoes list.
Thank you. I love your addendum to that. That's really great. And I agree. I also think that, of course, Tuvok would be on this list, but
he, of course,
is having such a horrible time. And this is so hard to watch for me. Like, Tuvok, it may surprise you from my, you know, childhood point ranking, but Tuvok is my favorite character. And then 7 of 9, and then Janeway. Well, Janeway's kind of always first. She's kind of on her own level, but anyway.
Yeah,
it's true. Like, Janeway is like the god, and then there's she's like the god of Voyager.
Yes.
I think that Tuvok's fate here is just so, like, terrible, and it's one of the absolute driving forces for Janeway, for Admiral Janeway, because, like the hater comment said, bubble comment said, absolutely, she does go back to primarily save her bestie. And she and Tuvok have this really unbreakable bond. I'm rewatching Voyager again, so like seeing it sort of unfold even more, like they've already had it solidified before Voyager even began the show, but
Yeah, I just am really heartbroken by the scene, especially because she kisses the top of his head and it's such a tender moment, but like Tuvok's not coherent enough to like be there for it, you know? And even after when Janeway leaves, he like knows that she's gone and is talking about this like parallel moment that I thought was really cool. Tuvok says, after Janeway goes on her trip to the past, Tuvok is saying he's deeply concerned and that he is stating coordinates of when Janeway was kidnapped in the Delta Quadrant back when they were still on their mission back home. And I wonder if this is when Tuvok learned of his diagnosis or something, because I keep wondering what is the like significance of this beyond just Janeway being kidnapped and being like gone, you know, and the similarities of her now being gone, and he recognizes that and is trying to like make sense of it. I feel like it also could be sort of because he's saying he's deeply concerned, so he's like back in that moment, so maybe he had like a faltering of like his emotional shields or whatever because of this illness. I'm like probably going way into it because my fanfic brain is like must think about Tuvok. But I just think it's such an interesting scene and it's done so well. And there's like, I feel like there's more to it than maybe I understand.
I mean, I think Tuvok learned of his diagnosis sometime in season 7, like at the end. And so yeah. I tend to read that as him only just like connecting the times that she was kidnapped, because actually, unlike Chakotay and Harry, Janeway rarely gets kidnapped.
True. Very true.
So it's correct. Notable when she's kidnapped, and that's what Tuvok is saying,
and
is
that's
like
when he's deeply concerned.
Yeah. Yeah. Deeply concerned. Yeah. Well, and I think that deeply concerned is him in able to access the present moment and say like, yeah, I'm feeling deeply concerned.
Mm-hmm.
Because he just can't communicate. It's really sad to see these. And I really agree with you that this is a driving factor of Janeway wanting to get home, because it's this constant reminder. And also it made me also sad in the beginning banquet scene when Harry was like, oh, I was thinking about going to visit Tuvok. And Janeway's like, you should, he would love that. And later we hear that the only people visiting Tuvok are the doctor, Barclay, and Janeway on a regular basis.
That's
and
what also shook me. Yeah.
I don't know. Like Tom and B'Elanna, would they do that? I mean, clearly no, but yeah. It's sad. I don't know. And like, I know Harry's been away on a deep space mission, but just the way that Janeway was like, you should, like, hello.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And then of course the other reason, since we're on this tangent, I thought might as well get it started. Yeah. The other reason that she wants to go home is because you heard her at the toast at the banquet, she added, you know, they said to the journey, and she said, and to those who aren't here to celebrate it with us. So it seems like she's the only one thinking about these missing people from the crew. That also is hurtful.
Yes.
You know? So there's a lot of distance between everybody, clearly.
And I think it's also a way to sort of make us dislike this timeline more, isolate and alienate us from it, from this like crew that we know and love and feels like such a family. That honestly, like at least for me, and I understand like what Janeway did was obviously terrible in a way, you know. But for me, honestly, I'm like, man, that future was like, was awful for all the people I care about, you know? And so I think that is sort of what they're also trying to set up, is like, this is just so not what Janeway envisioned. And so she's just completely fed up with it. And she's been thinking about this for a while.
Yes. No, you're absolutely right. She's been thinking about this for years and years. Yeah. So I want to move to the grave scene. Because, so remember, I talked about earlier how Harry is sorry that he missed the funeral.
Yeah.
So it's very touching. I love Kate Mulgrew in this scene, because she, you know, she touches his grave. We don't know at this point it's Chakotay's grave. And she says, you must have some old words of wisdom for your old captain. Like, don't do it. It's too risky. Well, like, don't worry, I'm going to fix the timeline. And then it shows Chakotay's life dates. And it says 2329 to 2394. Okay, that's like a normal life. Rest in peace. But Voyager got home in the year 2394, which is the same year that Chakotay died. And so that means
did Harry yeet immediately? Did Harry literally, like, I feel like Chakotay could have possibly died before they made it home, which right. I would love to explore. But yeah. even if he died like a month or two after getting home, holy shit, that's intense. And also, yes. Where the F was Harry?
Where was Harry? Was he seriously that eager to go back out after
and
years yeah. of being like, I need to see my parents, I need to go home, like
yeah. And on top of that, why is he apologizing to Janeway 10 years after Chakotay's funeral? I just think personally there was no one to review the script when a lot of these choices were made, and I have to laugh at that, and it really affects my fanfics I write, because thinking about Chakotay dying the year they get home is like unimaginable. Atrocious. For me, that yeah, is nope. rough. That is really
what,
rough.
That's and what sealed it for Janeway. She's and like, especially, and we're going to start planning this.
Yeah, and especially if Tuvok was mentally incapacitated on the last year home. And so who's her first officer? Is it Tom effing Paris? Is it Harry?
Yeah.
Who's the first? Anyway, this is what I think about. So yeah. I just have to bring this up. But otherwise, like, this scene always makes me cry. And I also laugh at the life dates. But cry yes. at how... Oh, just like I feel like her shields are finally down for the first time this whole episode when she's at the grave with Chakotay, and she almost has that casual banter like charm that she does when they're talking, and I think like just speaking to him brings that out of her, so ouch. I cry. Yeah.
I cry, we all cry. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then the transition is the most whiplashy thing I've ever seen in my life. We also, are back
14 minutes in. So these 14 minutes felt like a lifetime. A lifetime. For me.
A whole episode could yeah. have existed in that yeah. time. We are back on Voyager season 7 at the beginning of where we probably were maybe the thank you, Ashlyn. Where maybe the script should have started is maybe what I'm thinking.
Maybe, Rihanna. Maybe.
And then maybe have a whiplashy transition of maybe not the cheers of them coming home, but like maybe like old Janeway looking out on the bay or something. Like, we think about this a lot in poetry. There's just different ways that you could order a storyline, or like I even do this in my writing of short fiction or fan fiction where I'm like, the scene needs to go in a whole different area. Maybe that should have been looked over again. I totally agree. I think they missed the final sort of logic check through that should be prevalent in any Star Trek writing, but it really is not in most.
Okay, you know, I actually am going to disagree, because I think starting to set up the stakes so early is really important. And that's another thing that TNG did so well, is like, true, you know the stakes of this episode immediately. And I think if it had started on Voyager, in season 7, I can't think of a way that they could have raised the stakes as much as they did as I'm trying to come back in time.
Yeah, you're right, because if they had just like seen Janeway on the screen, it wouldn't have been as impactful yeah. as knowing what it took to get there and everything.
But I know what you mean about the jump scare, and I just feel like that, like, there's a way to integrate season 7 yeah. into this finale, and I don't think they did it right.
No. Especially because oh god,
baby okay. time.
Oh, what?
No, I said baby time.
Oh. Oh, sure, yeah.
What were you gonna say?
Oh, God. I was gonna say, especially because season 7 has yet again soft launched a couple that makes no effing sense. What is this weird ass trend? We have it now for Worf and Troy.
What?
Bashir and Ezri. And now Chakotay and 7 of 9.
Okay, can I say it gets worse every finale?
Uh-huh. Yep, it does.
Because right. honestly,
Troy and Worf is kind of cute. Like, I buy it.
Take Troy and Worf yeah. any day now. Day over
Remember
C7.
How we were complaining before? I like.
I wish I could. Yeah, I know. I want to take it all beautiful. Back.
They're a gorgeous couple.
Dare say I ship them. Yeah.
No, but like for real, I just, it's so forced. It's so much of what we've heard from our listeners, and And just in general, I'm glad to hear that most of the consensus is that just this does not work, you know, and a lot of people are understanding that this is not what anything was building up to. And my biggest defense of this, that C7, that Chakotay and Seven of Nine as a couple does not work, is that Chakotay for seasons, since season four onward, has been like pretty vehemently anti-Borg, right? So a lot of anti-Borg sentiment, a lot of throwaway lines that are a little bit like, my dude, my guy, it's time to like understand that they're victims too. He was even linked with the collective for a bit,
Well, that's
a few
why he has
times.
this Borg hatred because,
Yes.
yeah,
Yes, and he
yes.
got burned by that lady, you know, and like his body got taken over. I
Yeah,
understand this, but
yeah.
like that's why I think it's such a silly choice. Like, not that I would prefer like Harry Kim in Seven of Nine or some BS, but like I do think that it's just such weird writing to have him be so like frustrated and saying these kind of awful things to Seven, throwaway lines that don't seem very bad but are kind of hurtful, at least in my opinion, because I love Seven. To then have it here. And then he even says a line in the finale when she's like pseudo trying to break up with him to like force some distance. He says to her, he calls her emotions a Borg switch. It gives two people who know what dating is but don't know each other very well. And like they do the conventional stuff. Seven has looked it up. She knows all the steps of dating. Chakotay knows all the steps of dating, but they don't know each other basically at all. And like actually know each other. That's my defense of why C7 is gross and not and does not work.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So
Ashlyn gets out, shakes her thesis papers.
well, here's the thing is when, because this is a part of my brain rot with Voyager, when there's a insane choice made by the writers that is canon, I have to force myself to think of a way that it could work, or you know, because I'm trying to think this is not a completely chaotic choice, right? Like there's some thought behind it, and it makes it interesting to try to understand the characters in that way. Like, wow, they really have this duality about them, I guess. Even though to me it seems extremely out of character,
Yeah.
but yeah. So reading that, oh God, reading that. Brandon Braga wrote Human Error in order to set up for Endgame. Like that really
Ugh.
actually messes me up. Like that,
Yeah.
like I'm feeling very disheartened because
Yeah.
also there's an episode in between Human Error and the finale that has Chakotay and Seven stranded on a planet together. And this is how
Yeah.
you can see that this was not completely out of the blue, but it pretty, I mean, pretty out of the blue.
Yeah, it's like the third to last episode.
Yeah, it's like they've had two interactions in the past 4 seasons, and the third is the finale.
Yes. Yes.
And so, I just, my problem with it is in Human Error, I think that is a better C7 episode than the finale.
Yes,
I think
agreed.
they are great together, and Beltran is doing something really well. I mean, I know he's a hologram and it's like what Seven wants him to be, but I also just think the chemistry between him and Jerry Ryan are better in Human Error than they are in the finale. And
Agreed.
because what is so jarring about these scenes and what is like so alienating, I think, is that Jerry Ryan is, she's smiling a lot, which is weird because Seven is known for her very like emotionless take on the world as being a former Borg drone. I know she's exploring this new side of herself, and but to me it was just like jarring.
And she gets the
But
cortical node surgery, like to
true.
help, you know.
Yeah, so her emotions are like coming forward. I understand that, but it still was jarring.
Yeah.
And Chakotay is too hot and cold with her. He's
Yes.
when they're having a romantic moment, it's like gross. Like it's cheesy. It's overdone and it doesn't feel genuine. It feels very like surfacey at like kind of gross of him, like, oh, well, if someone likes me, I'm just gonna take advantage of this and ride this wave. And I cannot reconcile this Chakotay compared to who he has been throughout the rest of the 7 years. And this choice of him with Seven just it alienates me. I actually really like Chakotay, not Beltran necessarily, but I really like Chakotay. And to know that Janeway sacrificing her future to go back to make sure that he's alive, and yet he's doing all this disgusting nasty kissing with Seven, it makes me feel like he's betraying her, you know? I mean, and this is a very Ashlyn take, but yeah. I really struggle with this pairing, and I've tried to see it, but it eludes me.
Yeah, it's very elusive. I don't effing understand it either, Ashlyn. I feel you.
Also, the thing that is perhaps the most disturbing, I've talked about a lot of stuff. I'm so sorry to bring you all down. But the worst thing about all this is that who in the Star Trek universe started C7? Oh, you think maybe it was Seven of Nine? No, no. Because she's been having FaceTimes with Neelix.
No, please.
And you know, she said that she confided her feelings about Chakotay to Neelix. He encouraged her to ask him out. And so guess who is the real villain behind making C7 happen? It's Neelix. This man left the ship and he could still not stay out of the tea on board.
God. Even the FaceTimes are still just...
The FaceTime, yeah. I think of all the finales we've seen so far, that FaceTime with Seven and Neelix is the worst part of all of them.
Why would you do it on the giant astrometric screen, my girl? Like,
for me, my problem is that Ethan, like the actor, he's looking not at the camera. And so it's like Neelix is staring soullessly into space, and he's not connecting at all with Jeri Ryan, and it feels like she hates being there.
Oh yeah, and they hate this.
I hate it too.
We all hated it. We all hated being there. But I can't believe it gives Pandemic vibes, like the playing Kelto, like through their little Zoom.
It really does. And I know
Kelto, I'm sorry, Kata Scott.
It's a way for the writers to be like, oh, remember Neelix?
You've got to bring it back for the finale.
Reference of Kes, good night. Like,
yeah, they already like ruined her character in Fury, so.
Yeah, exactly right. But I thought I would rather not have Neelix at all than have this FaceTime scene. Yeah.
100%. They already mentioned him. That's plenty for me.
Yeah, so we talked a little bit about how the plot itself is a little bit all good things-y, but I'm curious in general, how do you feel about this whole Borg nest in this nebula with the tub and like Admiral Janeway's sort of quest and solution? Like, how do you feel in general about the plot itself and the structure and the movement of it, Ashlyn?
Great question. I feel like the pacing is actually pretty good in the beginning, because it's building the mystery slowly in the A and B plots, both in Voyager and in the future. So we're starting to get a sense of exactly what's going on. I love that the Borg is the final villain in this episode too, because we have had some of the best Star Trek episodes in Voyager with the Borg and the Queen, and they even reference Unimatrix Zero. Poor Janeway's triggered when a student asks her about it.
yeah.
And I think it's amazing we have Alice Krieg here from First Contact to play the Borg Queen. She is stupendous. I also think that having this question, especially when Admiral Janeway is on Voyager and it's kind of the two Janeways against each other, having the crew question, where is their home? What is our family now? Like, how have we changed throughout these 7 years? I think this natural dilemma of, do we get home the natural way, or do we turn around and try to fight these Borg ourselves to get home? I think it nicely adds that finale feeling, because I'm thinking about how these characters have changed throughout the years. So I am in favor of it. I think that I am more interested when we see more of what's going on in season 7. As soon as the two Janeways are together, I think it's like flawless till the end, especially besides C7.
Sure. Ashlyn, I love that analysis. I think it's so true, and I absolutely agree. I think that, yeah, the choppiest parts are the flipping back and forth between present and future, but I think the plot itself, it really picks up after that, and it doesn't feel as long as the episode is. What, it's like an hour and 20 minutes or something?
90 minutes, yeah.
Hour and a half. Yeah. So, wow. Okay. So let's talk about maybe the future a little bit, wrapping up the future moments with Tom and B'Elanna's daughter. Her name is Miral, right? Miral?
Miral. Yeah.
Yeah. Coolest. And she got snubbed by Janeway, by Admiral Janeway. Oh my God. This project she's been working on forever. Janeway's like, anyway, I've got it. I was like, oh, dang.
Okay, this is something I think about a lot too. And you've heard me on other podcasts. I think a lot about Admiral Janeway because I think her story is really explained quickly and we don't really get to understand that she's really been plotting this for probably 10 years, like ever since they got home. She's been forging forward the technology. She's been doing all this research. She put Carrath on the Klingon High Council. That is sketchy.
Yeah.
I can't help but think this is exactly the evil Admiral path because you get this power within Starfleet and you can't help but use it for your own gain. And for Janeway, she does not, I think her morals are out the window because she does not care about this future anymore. She's given up on remaining in it. And so she is just beeline towards trying to find the technology to go back. And so, you know, we see her and B'Elanna talking in the very, very beginning of this episode, and B'Elanna saying, Miriel's so sad to miss. I know she would really want to be here. She's been on this assignment for you for 6 months. When is she coming home? And Janeway's all business. And she says, oh, it's classified. I can't talk about it. And then later, the doctor does some digging when he's trying to figure out why Janeway was acting so suspiciously and where she's gone, that Janeway has not been assigned to any classified missions or any missions of any kind since she started teaching. That means that Janeway was purposefully lying to B'Elanna, probably like one of her closest friends, and lying to her daughter and manipulating these people in order to get everything done. That's really insane. And I think it just shows how desperate she is to get everybody home.
Yeah. And I just could not believe the measures she went to. She's going to steal this thing from the Klingons. She is completely disregarding everyone if they're against her, basically. And of course, then we talked about Harry coming in clutch at the very end. You're so right. I was expecting LeVar Burton to show up on the screen. And then I was like, nope, that's timeless.
Yeah.
Wrong episode. But I really liked sort of the ending of this part where the past and futures were melding together, where like the old Voyager was detecting the Klingons through whatever path Admiral Janeway was making. That was really cool. And I thought that set up this sort of latter half of the episode really well.
It really did. I also have to note in the Klingon section, I love when Janeway first beams into Korath's place and Miral steps out. She says, welcome to the house of Korath. And Janeway says, I love what he's done with the place.
Always ready to quip.
She's always got a quip ready. And I also just have to say that everybody's uniforms in the future look terrible, except for Janeway. Oh.
I was going to say that too. It looks awful. Like pajama, like baggy pajamas, but not it's as bad the as the worst. The motion picture pajamas.
I don't know. The front dangles so much. Like
it really does.
It hides nothing. I really don't like the uniforms at all. I actually think I would prefer motion picture uniforms to this.
Oh, wow. That's really saying something. Ashlyn just wants to see everyone's junk. Got it.
I mean, like, look at who I am. Like, of course I do. I just have to say that. And I agree with you. I think so when Tuvok scans that the Klingon ship is probably right behind Admiral Janeway on the Rift, I think that is the thing that helps to convince Captain Janeway that this could actually be her future self and this is someone actually probably from the Alpha Quadrant because of these Klingon signatures.
Yeah, that part was so, so cool. I think, Ashlyn, now let's unpack old Janeway and young Janeway. And let's talk about first, you know, mommy, sorry, the beautiful women. I mean, sorry.
Mommy?
The mommy? Wonderful sorry. Captain and Admirals. Yeah, sorry. That interact here. This is yet again a masterclass of like acting with yourself, basically, but not completely, but very different feeling characters. You know, that Admiral Janeway has now become sort of bitter and that her sort of like self-righteousness goes out the window is what they talk about a bit because she's so bitter about the losses that happened in her timeline.
She has so much regret. So we see that
I think Captain Janeway mentions first when she goes to the crew and says, all right, I want to take a vote because 7 years ago, I made a choice that affected everybody's lives, but I didn't know you all then. And she's referencing, of course, when she destroyed the caretakers away and stranded them all in the Delta Quadrant. And she says, I don't regret that. And she also says that to Admiral Janeway's face. She says, I don't regret what I did, even though we know she does regret this. And this is something that really plagued her in season 5, in the episode Night. She was so like downtrodden by this decision that she made to strand them all. She found herself reverting. And yet in this finale, she's so confident, you know, she's feeling good about herself. And so to see that Admiral Janeway, at this point, 16 years older than Captain Janeway, is completely drowning in this regret that she has for stranding them there. And also for the deaths of everyone that she lost along the way, for Tuvok. And so they are really two different women. And I really enjoyed, you know, you're talking about Kate Mulgrew at her height here. Like, she carries the weight differently on Admiral Janeway. And I think she plays Admiral Janeway a lot more emotionally like hidden than Captain Janeway. I feel like Captain Janeway, she has their whole range of emotions when she's talking. She's so expressive, and Admiral Janeway just keeps it all bottled up. And I just, oh, compliments, yes, to the chef, you know?
Oh my gosh, Ashlyn, thank you. I love that. And I think even when she got the crew home, she was so obsessed with getting them home better, doing it better, faster, even beyond losing Seven and Chakotay. She lost, what, 11?
22.
Oh, 22 other crew members as well. We may laugh and be like, haha, red shirts, but like, of course Janeway's going to take every single one of those losses to heart, as she is so protective of her crew, Mama Janeway, you know. Yeah.
And also, you know, when we saw Kate Mulgrew speak at the statue, she said, like, those people on Voyager, they were my 165. She was like, she, whatever the number of crew that started the journey out, she kept repeating that number. And I was like, she, Kate Mulgrew, has this number memorized. And so, yes, that is such a driving force behind Janeway of like, yeah, get the people home.
Yes. And a driving force behind their argument and their disagreement because of the method of how to get them home. You know, obviously they want to use the transwarp hub, but this is a very dangerous hub leading right to the Delta Quadrant, pretty much on the doorstep of Earth for the Borg to just come and invade. And so the two Janeways are really grappling with their differences of an opinion on whether or not to destroy it, because it's so dangerous. It could completely ruin Admiral Janeway's mission to get them home. That's literally all she came here to do. She didn't come here to destroy some Borg. She didn't come here to change the world. Obviously she changed her world, you know, but like, I really think that she was so single-mindedly focused, and Captain Janeway was very like big picture focused, you know, so they had completely different angles of their sort of lens going on.
And I think what changes that, because initially when the two Janeways meet in Captain Janeway's ready room, Admiral Janeway says F the temporal prime directive. She immediately just starts giving details about the future. She's like, yep, Voyager made it home. It's a museum. I'm so cool. But she's kind of surface with her, and she doesn't tell her all the details of exactly, of deeply why she's come back in time. And so it takes this fight that they have, this disagreement of the best way to do things, that changes the nature of their relationship so they understand each other anymore. And that is when she does finally tell Janeway, like, you lose Chakotay. I think this bomb of a line is the most damning, because, yes, she says, oh God, Admiral Janeway says to Captain Janeway, Seven of Nine died 3 years from now on an away mission, and she died in the arms of her husband, Chakotay. Like, and well, you,
she goes, husband, and then she goes, Chakotay.
That's what it is.
Ooh, and for all the JC shippers, Ashley's got her heads in her hands. This is painful, because not only is it like her hearing that they got married, which like she probably doesn't like.
Well, and you know who marries people on ships? It's the captain. So Janeway had to marry
Seven
and Chakotay. Can you think about that? Can you think about what that must have been like? And then you'll have a pretty good idea of what Admiral Janeway is going through. Are you kidding me? That's nasty. That's so sad. That's and she's like, oh, but good for them. He gets to move on. Not me. I'm stuck here, still the captain. Anyway, she's not bitter at all, clearly.
Yeah, clearly not at all. Yeah, and I think that this is an important thing that one of our listeners did bring up, you know, about how different it is, different stages in your life. Yeah, Jason Lee said, interesting way to show how much we change over time when our current perceptions hold us back. So that perfectly sums up so much of the crux of Janeway, of what is holding her back is that guilt, is that never moving on, you know, and when you're stuck in this place forever and ever, you're still at the restaurant, you know, you're still like struggling with this one moment in your life and you can't move on from it, then everything revolves around that moment. And I think it's something that, you know, it's kind of like what the prophets told Sisko and the emissary, like, you live here, and it's in this moment when Jennifer died. And I think that similarly, Janeway lives in those losses of Seven and then later on Chakotay, and then of course, you know, all the she lives in those regrets of not getting home sooner. And I just think that this coming back is so like incredibly, you know, people call it selfish, selfless. I think it's both, you know, exactly what Jennifer Lee Rothman said is that it can be that duality of a beautifully brave thing to do and something that's just completely reckless and crazy. Like my fiance at the time was, we watched this episode, I think, for like villains for her first time ever. She saw all of Endgame and was mostly just like, did she just erase all the lives of all those people? Who, like that daughter who was living, like the doctor who had a wife, you know, and a name, all this kind of stuff. And I'm like, yep, like that's correct. She did just do that. So this is just exactly right. The Jane way.
It is the Jane way, the Jane Bay. The question that haunts me and that there's never an answer to is that I think personally that the timeline keeps on going. The OG
Oh.
timeline, I think that one keeps going. I don't think it gets erased because I think about, you know, like how the Prime Universe was created was someone going back and changing a future and having different consequences. So I think that
Oh, it's a
universe keeps
parallel
going, and
now.
I think that Janeway just disappears from it.
I actually, that in a way, it makes me sad, but also like happy to know that like Miral is still in like her cool ass position at the council and like
Yeah,
that kind of
so
stuff.
it just assures that that timeline wasn't erased, and I think that is a little more comforting thinking about Janeway
Yes.
going back in time, but we never get an answer,
Yeah.
so I don't
No,
know.
it's true. Exactly. And so we're finally, you know, getting down to the end of this episode where there's still some arguments. As you said, hearing about Chakotay's death really cinches it, but I think they're both fighting about the possibilities of blowing up this transwarp hub. And the fact that Admiral Janeway didn't tell Captain Janeway is what really like divides them and makes them argue, because obviously Captain Janeway believes in trust above like everything else and loyalty, because that's how she sort of shows herself through is loyalty. And so I love that the Admiral knows that Captain Janeway is, quote, stubborn and self-righteous, and she's like, I should have expected that you would have this pushback. But of course they find a third and possible solution and they make it work, and they have their cake and eat it too, essentially. And the best, not best part, but an amazing part is when Tuvok quotes Ambassador Spock and says the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the one or the few. So that was just incredible to see that, and to see the whole crew come together and be like, yeah, we'll blow this up and try to get home at the same time. Like, we can make it all happen. And especially because Admiral Janeway obviously was the cinch in the plan, but such a cool scene.
Yes, absolutely love that scene. I can't help but think the only silver lining to the C7 scenes in the second half of this episode is that their discussions mostly revolve around Janeway. And there is a scene where Seven has just learned. I think also this is kind of messy because Admiral Janeway went and told Seven that she should stop dating Chakotay
So
because
messy.
it's so messy. Like this, oh, I can't even believe this. Because like her death will make Chakotay too sad. So she tries to guilt trip Seven into stopping dating Chakotay. And I just think that's so desperate and like terribly thought through of her. It's very uncharacteristic of her, but whatever.
She is literally so desperate at this point.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Messy. And so anyway, Chakotay, he figures out like, oh my gosh, the Admiral told her something. You know, they're talking about going back in time. Like, what do you think will it work? Will we actually get home? And Chakotay's like, look, I think we would stand a chance with one Janeway on the bridge, but with two, it's a certainty that yes. everything will be fine. And so even, you know, they're having this intimate moment talking about how cool Janeway is.
I mean, same.
Same. But it happens again in another scene where they're talking and then they're like kissing and Janeway says like officers to the bridge and it's like she interrupts them and that makes me so happy. She's like, stop kissing, yes, please.
Come I to love the bridge. That. All knowing Janeway. I love seeing the two Janeways in the shuttle as well. Like talk about two Janeways being epic when they finally decide to work together and go through with this plan, then they're just like freaking unstoppable. And it's so cool to see that shuttle scene and see them getting ready and then departing. Oh, yes.
I have always wanted more in this scene because I think there's probably some things on the cutting room floor that we haven't seen in this episode. I just think we're missing any type of interaction with Admiral Janeway and the rest of the crew. I think that'd be really spicy to see, especially her and Tuvok, her and Chakotay, her and Seven, besides their messy scene. But despite that, I think in this end part of the episode, we have like two or three Janeway scenes in a row, and they are the best part of the episode to me because it's Kate Mulgrew. Yeah, you know, like we had a listener say, it is really a Janeway story, Endgame. True. And
but so and, is All Good Things is a Picard story.
Exactly right. Yeah. And so I'm not bothered by it. And Janeway is who I love the most. So it's wonderful to see. And
What You Leave Behind is also a Sisko story. Let's be real. Anyway.
Let's be real. Thank you, Rihanna. Turnabout Intruder is really a,
it's a Kirk story.
It's a Kirk story. So
it kind of is. Let's be real.
You're welcome. You're welcome. So I don't have any problems with it. And I think it is especially badass. Like we have these great Janeway scenes of them together. And then when she goes up against the Borg Queen, it is as good as first contact. She's using the neural interface to get into the Borg Queen's mind. She's the ultimate expert on the Borg in the whole Alpha Quadrant or the Delta Quadrant, probably.
She wrote the book on them.
Yeah. Literally. Thank you, snaps, for Janeway. Yeah, so it's just wonderful to see her outplay the Borg Queen and just have this epic clashing of them come together. She easily gets assimilated because she has the surprise neuropathogen that's going to like completely cripple the Borg once they get assimilated. I love this scene. She's beautiful. She slays.
She does. Literally badass Janeway making a deal with the devil, you know, and they make this deal for the Borg vessel to tow the tow Voyager through, which is our question of how Voyager got inside the sphere, but who's to say? But I do love that, yeah, even when Janeway's assimilated, she just stands proud, like as much as she can, you know, being assimilated. Like she stands up and then says to her, must have been something you assimilated. Like, oh, yeah! That's as good as assimilate this, you know, like just great lines for these Borg.
I was
like,
thinking, go
moments.
Back to hell, coward.
Coward. This is a year I'd like to forget.
Janeway one-liners.
Oh, they're so good.
So good.
And this is one of the best ones because we find out, we don't even know that she has this neuropathogen until the Queen knows. And I think that's brilliant as well to not cue in the audience until the last minute. Because we do feel like, oh my gosh, are they not going to make it? Like, obviously they will because they can't just give us a devastating finale where everyone dies or gets assimilated. But like, I still think that it's really well done.
Yeah. Well, and then like the tension is really mounted because finally we get scenes of Barclay and Earth from season 7. And we see that the Federation is terrified because they are sensing a Borg signature coming from this aperture that is less than a light year from Earth. So yeah. Like this is Invasion 101. And
yeah,
I love it because Admiral Paris, he gets 16 starships yeah. out ready to fight the Borg. I mean, this is true red alert. This is like, yeah. We're about to be annihilated.
Yeah.
Send everyone you got. So we have Riker, the Titan probably is here.
Probably, yes.
Anyway, so I love seeing this because we also, as the audience, are not sure if they're going to make it or not. So
yeah.
Is it going to be the Borg coming through or is it Voyager? What's going on? Yeah, absolutely love to see it. And then when we finally see Admiral Janeway is gone, the tension on the bridge of everyone waiting, and then finally they break out of the confusing Borg sphere. I still don't understand when they went in. I do say there was one line, I think, where Admiral Janeway says in one of the meetings about when they're first figuring out if they could possibly destroy the Borg hub, she says the pressure in the aperture is too intense and so Voyager would be crushed like a bug. So, but it was literally like 1 second.
Right inside the sphere.
Yeah, and so I think that's why, but there was no indication that they ever entered the Borg sphere, so it was confusing.
And I think this is the most Janeway to come back into the Alpha Quadrant, literally blowing up not only the sphere that they hitched a ride in, but the transwarp hub right behind them, you know, so ensuring that no Borg can come through and destroying the threat that they brought in. Like, what an incredible feat, and the most Janeway to ever Janeway.
This sets the Borg back by probably a decade or more. Like, I mean, it's a wow, you know,
talk about crippling no blow notes. To the Borg. Like, that's the most incredible, and I think probably the most triumphant and amazing part of that is both Captain Janeway's acknowledgement of Admiral Janeway's sacrifice, the little like thank you Admiral like she does or whatever at the end to herself was so good.
I'm really glad she said that, because I think in general Admiral Janeway is so underrated.
Yeah,
they are, only the crew really knows what happened and how they truly got home, so I'm glad that she had that moment of recognition, like, you literally saved all our asses and us working together helped to destroy the Borg. What?
Yes, absolutely. And I think, you know, as we close out this episode, I was so curious because there were so many people in our comments saying that they really didn't like how there was no focus on sort of the aftermath, them coming back, them getting to hug their families. You know, there was none of that like emotional closure for some people. But I honestly am going to disagree and say that I really liked that they didn't get off Voyager and go to Earth and hug their families and see all that in person and have sort of a where are they now segment thing, you know, and not saying it would go that far, but I think that it was really smart to end on Voyager, because the show has always been about Voyager and it's always been about the ship itself and the traveling, you know, it's so cheesy, but it's exactly what Harry's little speech was about, like, maybe it was the friends we made along the way. Like, basically he says, like, it was the journey that matters, not the destination. You know, such a cheesy line, but I really do think it's indicative of how they wanted the show to end and how it beautifully does wrap up. I think, yeah, it is a little fast. We could have had another 5 minutes of, like you said, maybe everyone on the bridge, you know, bring Balot up here after having just had her baby. I maybe am in the minority when I think this, but I kind of liked the way that they stayed on Voyager, even closing out this show.
Yeah, I'm actually with you, Rihanna. Before reading these comments, I did not realize that people felt this way, that they felt like it was an abrupt ending, because I have always thought just seeing Janeway tearing up and she can barely speak and she says, like, we did it. With this whole show, we have not seen a single other Federation starship, and so for me, such a ship nerd, I get so overwhelmed seeing all of friendly ships, you know, like, oh my god, and then there's Earth. And so I really felt like the characters felt that way as well, and I was very satisfied by the ending. I always cry at the end. I'm tearing up thinking about it now, because this is the moment that they've all dreamt about for the past 7 years, and we get to see it happen. So I'm fine with whatever they decide to do in the future. Now we have some answers because of Picard and because of Prodigy, but I personally feel like, and I'm going to answer my own question, is this effective finale?
Yeah.
Because for me, this is kind of a marriage of all good things and what we leave behind, because we get an answer to the question we've been asking ourselves the whole show, how does Voyager get home? Mm-hmm. And we get a story that celebrates the characters and the relationships and the arcs that they've had throughout the show in a satisfying way besides C7. I think personally, the ideal way to watch this, if you are going to have a satisfying experience, is to completely skip the C7 scenes. And that's what I do when I rewatch this episode, is I don't watch them at all.
Watchable.
It makes it fantastic. And then the problem is, though, when for this rewatch. I hadn't seen any of them in so long. I had heart palpitations. Yeah, it was a nightmare. I had to almost, it was disgusting to watch.
Your blood is boiling. Yeah.
Yeah. But I do think despite how much I hate those scenes, watching Admiral Janeway absolutely kick ass and seeing just the celebration of Janeway, how can you go wrong? Love this episode. Very satisfying finale. Rihanna, how do you feel about this finale?
I am in agreement, Ashlyn. I think this is an effective finale for many reasons. I think that absolutely the pacing could have been better, and the weird C7 stuff is not my fave, obviously. But I think the moment of having Tom and B'Elanna's daughter being born right as they get home is like the cinch in like what makes this so effective. And the other thing is the very last line, which is such a parallel line to the last line of the first episode, Caretaker, where Janeway gives Chakotay the helm and says, set a course for home. Like, that kind of amazing parallel lines to wrap up this show is what really makes sort of the last 5 minutes make this the ultimate effective finale. You know, I think that, not that it's my favorite finale, but I still think it's extremely effective. Even the qualms I have with it, it's kind of interesting. Like, it wasn't as hard rewatching Endgame as I thought it would be, because I just enjoyed so many moments and thought it was so rich in storytelling and acting. And yeah.
Absolutely beautiful response, Rihanna. I am curious, because we got a lot of comments comparing this episode, this finale, to All Good Things and What We Leave Behind. So from the big three finales, how would you rank them?
Oh, gosh. Oh, why would you? Okay, well, Deep Space Nine is first. And then I think Endgame, and then All Good Things, just by a little bit, but just by a little. Yeah. How about you, Ashlyn?
I don't know what to say, but What We Leave Behind is first, for sure. Uh-huh. If I'm watching the C7 cut where those scenes are removed, it's Endgame next. But if I watch the whole thing, I'm going to have to say All Good Things and then Endgame, despite how much I love Endgame. So yeah. Anyway, just curious, because now we've finished with the big three. We have Enterprise next week. So that's going to be, you know, it's going to be a good time. You have to come listen to us talk about These Are the Voyages. The cursed episode of finale. Yeah, you know it's going to be a good time. Wow. Rihanna, thank you for letting me talk out of my ass about Endgame. I feel like
always
a weight has been lifted off me, and I can leave my thoughts into the void now. Just think about Janeway on my own.
Oh my gosh, absolutely, Ashlyn. Thank you all so much for coming on this journey with us, coming back to the Alpha Quadrant. Now that we are back in the Alpha Quadrant and discussing finales, wrapping up.
I forgot.
Good thing I didn't forget.
All of you forgot too. Good thing Rihanna didn't, because we literally did this on the Patreon where she forgot to announce it. Rihanna, what's gonna be our next series?
Our next series of the Duras Sisters podcast after finales will be Art of Star Trek. So I'm going to be doing arts as in visual art, poetry, and plays, basically. Not music. Visual art. Like, I don't have an official title for it yet, but I was thinking just Art Trek. TNG is going to have a lot of plays. Just get ready, y'all. And a lot of painting. But it's going to be very exciting to get to talk about something very new and different on the pod and kind of experimental. So I wanted to try something different. And
I love this.
Yeah. So we're going to have like a totally, I think, varied types of episodes here. You know, we're going to have long ones, short ones. It's going to be really fun. I think we're going to be able to tackle a lot of hobbies. Maybe we'll find out if some more women have hobbies, you know, like from this. So
hey, I'm very excited. I'm here for that. I also love that it's a very like experimental pod after my like very traditional
watch episode format. Yeah.
I love this. This is what makes the pod so cutting edge, is Rihanna's ideas. So I'm very excited. I screamed. I'm very hyped for this.
I went with, you know, Mirror Universe last time, something very conventional. So I kind of like to mix it up. And so we're going to be talking about art and Star Trek next series. So that's going to be after we wrap up finale.
Yeah, but before that, you better get ready because we will be talking about These Are the Voyages next week. Keep a lookout for a poll on our social media because I'm very excited to hear what you all have to think about that
I'll have to
finale.
think. Agreed.
Yeah. So thank you so much for listening, Rihanna. Thank you so much, genuinely. I feel like you and me talking about Voyager has been very special, especially like given our history with the series in general.
Agreed.
So this has been very special to talk about.
Oh, it's so special. Such a joy, Ashlyn. Thank you so much for joining me, as always. Thank you, Jordy, in your beautiful dress uniform, and Balana, in your gorgeous, weirdly 90s
It's
outfit.
like
I
her
don't know.
outpost uniform.
Yeah,
I don't
full
know.
scientist uniform. Yeah, exactly. And thanks, listeners, for coming along this journey. We're so excited to keep bringing you more episodes soon. Keep on the lookout and hope you join us for our Discovery watch along as we get ready to do our Discovery Podcast Festival. Woo woo.
Thank you for listening to the Duras Sisters podcast. Please tune in next week for the sixth episode of our finale series, where Ashlyn and Rihanna will talk about Enterprise's These Are the Voyages. Please follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Threads, Blue Sky, and Twitter to check to see our suggested watch lists for our upcoming episodes. The one episode for next week. Also, take a moment to check out our content on Tumblr, TikTok, YouTube, and our merch on Threadless. All links can be found in the bio of any of our social media pages. If you like what you've heard today, please leave us a review on whatever platform you listen. By donating $1, $6, $12, or $23 per month, you can become a monthly patron and unlock our exclusive rewards for each tier. You can find all of this and more at patreon.com/the Duras Sisters podcast. If you would like to contact us for any reason, please do so at theDurasSistersPodcast@gmail.com.
At the Duras.com.
At Duras.
Duras's Gmail
Duras
official.
Club Duras.com. Oh God. Please email us if you want at the Duras Sisters Podcast at gmail.com. These are some of our recent podcast series: First Officers, Spooky, Holodeck, Engineering, and the Mirror Universe series. If you haven't heard a particular one yet, or any of the other 10 we didn't mention, please go back and listen to any of these awesome episodes. Editing, social media, and marketing is done by me, Ashlyn Gellman, Rihanna Hurd, and Jerry Goldsmith.
Jerry just all such good social media. He really is fire with those Canva posters.
It is the team here at the Duras Sisters podcast. We could not do it without Jerry Goldsmith, who wrote our intro and outro.
We love you, Jerry. Thanks for being here, my dude.
Rest in peace, sir.
Play it again, Jerry.